All right, guys, we are live Monday, March 25th, 2024. It's the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, joined by my co-host here, Mr. Big Marcel. We're going to be recapping UFC Vegas 89, Heboss versus Nama Yunus, and then we'll preview UFC Atlantic City after this. But this podcast will be the UFC Vegas 89 recap. Marcel, what's going on, man?
Yeah, man, everything is good. Looking forward to talking to you about the UFC from last weekend. I think we have a lot to talk about. And
I'll say so. Yeah. I think so too. Like, it feels like there, even though this card wasn't like, you know, a lot of big names or whatever, it feels like there was a lot of like talking points that came out of it. Obviously there was some controversy during one of the fights, especially, and then, you know, on Twitter with some fighters talking some shit, ex-fighters, I should say. Yeah, there's a lot to get going. I always ask you this. Oh, let's get some comments, by the way. We got Glenn here, as always, number one. Usually, anyways. We got Octo Updates. What's on, brother? Glad to have you here as well. Hopefully some more people join. We got some more people for sure. Give me your thoughts overall, though, on the card. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention. Well, I guess we'll briefly recap Bellator as well. I forgot that happened Friday, but not the greatest card either, but... Just give me your thoughts overall on the UFC card, Marcel. Like, what do you think of it? I know going into it, like, obviously, like I said, not the biggest names, but what do you think of the card overall?
I feel like it was an okay card, you know what I mean? I think it kind of slowed down because I think the co-main and the main event weren't that amazing, to be really honest. I think main event was kind of competitive, but it wasn't really, like, sparkling or whatever. And the co-main event was really, like, striker versus grappler, and... Yeah, when grappler wins against striker, it can be kind of boring, but it was like pretty much what we expected, you know? So, and all the other fights, I enjoyed a lot of these fights, man. I think there were some real good fights and on the card, some real good finishes as well. And yeah, I saw one guy who really impressed me on that card. And I was wrong with my pick about Cameron Simon against Peyton Talbot. I thought Talbot was a little bit too early there, you know, to fight a guy like Simon. But man, dude, that got massive talent, you know. And yeah, we'll talk about it later in the podcast. But man, he really impressed me.
I'm pretty sure that guy's going to be fighting for the belt one day, man. I mean, like, you just get that feeling from some fighters sometimes, Marcel, where you see them and you're like, wow, this guy's like special. That's the feeling I get from Peyton Talbot. Like, I do think he was the biggest star of the night. Like, obviously, again, you know, he wasn't the main event or anything, but I feel like he had the best performance on the whole card. There was a few other fighters I think had some really good performances as well. I think like the main card was good. I think the prelims were not the greatest. That's my opinion, which is I think the opposite of last week. Or maybe it was the week before. I can't remember. Was it last week? I can't remember. But there was a card with like it was like all prelim finishes and all main card decisions. Again, you know, there's good fights that go to the decision all the time. But if there's finishes, I mean, who's gonna hate a finish, right? So, but yeah. All right. I say we'll get into it.
That's what she said.
Yeah, of course. By the way, ask some more comments and then we'll get going. We got Michael in the chat. What's going on, man? Talbot's very good. Zach, what's up, man? Payton's impressive. Hope this doesn't get in a rock behind him. They still don't grow. I think the UFC is going to push him up the ladder. That was the second fight in his UFC contract, right? Second fight?
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to let him go into his last fight, which would be his fourth fight. Without a new contract. I think they're going to get him to do a new contract for the next fight and sign him to like six-fight deal. That's what I think they'll do.
I want him to fight Marcus McGee, man. I like that fight so much. I want that fight.
I'm good with that fight, but I also feel like Marcus, like, he's been impressive as fuck, too. And, like, he's an older guy, so I think he's, you know, they got to push him fast because, I mean, I'm 35. I think Marcus is the same age as me, right? Isn't he? Or is he a year younger? He's your age, isn't he? Marcus McGee. Let me double-check. He's either 34 or 35.
I don't know, man. He didn't invite me on his birthday, so I have no idea.
I'm checking right now. He is an 80. He's a 90, so he's actually 2 years younger than me. He looks older than me, I think. Maybe he's lying about his age. I don't know. He's a cool dude, though. But, yeah, I mean, like, that's a good fight. Like, honestly, man, like, Pedro Munoz is number 15. Like, I think that's a good fight. Anyways, we'll talk about him in a second. But let's go to the main event. We'll work our way down, as always. We'll start the main event, work our way down. Rose Namajunas defeats Amanda Heboss. Unanimous decision. Judges scored it 49-46, 49-46, 48-47. I had a 48-47. I gave Heboss 3-5 and Rose 1-2-4. To be honest with myself, this is an easy fight to score. Like I don't really understand why a lot of people are saying Heboss won. I don't really get it. I know you're a big fan of her. I know people like this girl. I like her too, but she didn't win that fight, guys. Rose Namajunas won, and it was kind of an easy fight to score. What'd you think?
Yeah, you know I love Amanda Heboss. I always did. And I don't think she won the fight. You know, I think Rose won the fight. I think Rose won 1, 2, and 4. 3 was for Ribas. And 5 was a toss-up. I gave it to Ribas because I thought she did a little bit more. But so we had the same scorecard. Yeah, good fight, man. Fun fight. Like not a fun fight, but a competitive fight, I should say. You know, it was a competitive fight. But from the start, from the first round of going, I had the feeling that Ribas wasn't going to win the fight. You know what I mean? I never had the feeling that Rose was going to lose. And that was make the fight less attractive to watch to me, you know, because I didn't never had the feeling like Ribas going to do something spectacular here to beat Rose. So it was a good fight, but it wasn't like I wasn't really into it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Alex is in the chat, by the way. If he wants to join us, he can. I just asked him if he wants to. It's totally his call. If you want to send him the link, you can. What's up, Antoine? Glad to have you here. I pretty much agree with everything you just said about the fight. Like, honestly, man, it wasn't the most exciting fight. You know, like, let's just be honest. It was an okay fight. Nothing special. Well, it was a 5-round fight, Matthew. Remember that. She did win 2 of the first 3 rounds. Listen, I don't want to call him out because I really like John and John Coe from the All-Star. I really like John. And, you know, I've been on his podcast and I've talked to John for years. Can you send Alex the link, by the way? He wants to come in. Can you
already did? Already did.
Perfect. Awesome. Alex, you got the link. I really like John. That scorecard, the 30-27, that must have been him trolling, right? Like, there's no way.
Gotta be.
I mean, that's one way to get yourself on the broadcast, I guess. I mean, people, like, I looked at that, the comments, man, people were shitting on him.
I thought Touching By scored us or stole this account for a second.
Dude, John trains at fucking Tiger Muay Thai, right? He's in fucking Tiger Muay Thai. He trains with Peter Yan and Rafael Fiziev, and he knows the sport really well. I can't imagine he was serious about that, right? Like, there's no way, because like it was pretty obvious, Marcel, that it was Rose round 1, Rose round 2, Hibas run round 3, Rose run 1 round 4, and the 5th round I gave to Hibas, the 2 of the judges gave to Rose. At that point it didn't really matter because she needed a 10-8 basically to force a draw. I don't know, that scorecard was just really odd. I'm surprised they showed it, I'd be honest, because that's the fear, Marcel, and they do show our tweets as well. I always have in the back of my mind, like, don't, like, and I tweet some stupid shit, don't get me wrong, but I'm like, don't tweet stupid shit, because people will see that and they'll fucking remember it and they'll go after you. So you have to like be careful what you're, not careful like necessarily, but yeah, I guess like you have to be like mindful of what you're tweeting, basically, is what I'm saying. So hopefully Alex can join us. I want to hear his thoughts on this fight.
I sent him the link, so he can join us if he wants.
All right, I'll tell him here. Wynn doesn't like Aaron's scorecards. I think Aaron's pretty good at scoring the fights. I do think he overrates damage, like, over control. Like, he doesn't give control enough credit, personally. But, you know, Aaron's a good friend of mine, man. Like, I talk to him about this all the time when we hang out in person. You know what I mean? Like, go ahead.
We're gonna Aaron is a great dude, man. Aaron is always, like, very nice, good dude, hard worker. Only, it's like, yeah, sometimes I also don't agree with the scorecards, but I'm not mad about it or anything. Sure. I mean, everybody can give it scorecards. Only thing is, like, I don't think, like, last week, like, you can justify 4 more significant strikes to give a fighter a round over 3.5 or 4.5 minutes of control. But yeah, that's my
thing. Especially when you're talking about the Delgarian fight, obviously, I think you're referring to. And it's,
of course,
in that fight, like, it wasn't just holding against the fence. He's actually going for, you know, advancing positions and stuff. Like, that stuff, that's MMA, man. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's not just kickboxing, as we know. So, anyways, we got Alex in the chat. Alex, what's up, brother?
What's up, bro? How are you?
Dude, you've been busy. I saw you did James Lynch's podcast, the MMA industry podcast. Now you joined us. Holy shit, dude.
Yeah, dude. I like talking to my friends.
We love having you.
Then we have to lift this dude again with his perfect beard. That's
Alex, looking good, brother. We also got Craig in the chat, a good friend of ours as well. We got a question here. Why do you guys think she left Trevor Whitman? I don't know. I mean, she's doing her own thing now, I guess. Like, is Pat Barry her head coach now, I guess? Pat's her... I mean, I'd rather have Trevor Whitman as my head coach, wouldn't you guys? Like, I don't know about this. Just any brief thoughts on the main event? We just gave our thoughts here. Any brief thoughts, Alex?
It was a fight, you know. I guess my biggest takeaway is I just don't know if Rose is a flyweight champion. You know, like, yeah. I just don't know if she can win the belt at flyweight, you know. I know that she had all the talent in the world. I just don't, like... I don't know. I just
physical.
Yeah, it's for sure physically. You know, I will say you know, during fight week and post fight, like mentally, she seemed very like happy to be there fighting. Like, I think it's just physically. I don't know if she's gonna be able to like. Would you pick her against Valentina?
No. The thing is, like, I feel like she also fought Amanda Ribas, and Amanda Ribas actually also strawweight, you know, who sometimes fights at flyweight. So that's how I also feel. Somebody has something in the back on. I don't know what it is, but yeah, okay. But yeah, I feel like Rose will do well, but I think she struggles against the bigger girls. You know, I think that as well. So we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know if she'll be a champion flyweight. I mean, she already lost to Menon, and Menon is good too. And we'll talk about Menon after with Blanchfield in the next podcast. But yeah, I mean, I still think Rose is one of the best female fighters of all time, man. I mean, this wasn't her best performance, sure, obviously, but two wins over Wei Zhang, two wins over Ioana, and the win over Andrade. Like, she's beaten the best girls in the world. She's been at the top of the game for a very long time. Unfortunately, Carla Esparza was her kryptonite at 155, but yeah, I mean, she's one of the best women's fighters. What's next for her? I like that Macy Barber call out, guys. I think it's a really fun fight. I know Macy just got out of the hospital. Like, she was there for 9 days, apparently. Her boyfriend, Yusuf Salal, was at her side, I guess, for most of the time before he took his short notice fight. We'll talk about him in a few minutes. He was amazing in this card. But yeah, you guys like that fight, Macy Barber? Is that a fun
one? Yeah, makes all the sense in the world. I just, like, it's annoying to me when fighters are calling for a rematch right after, like, one fight after, bro. Like, it's very, very, very rare that a UFC ever books a rematch that quickly. Like, just stop doing it, bro. Like, it's not going to happen.
Brandon Royval did it too. And we all like Brandon Royval, but, like, dude, you won one fight and you're not getting, like, you just got, just like, not destroyed, but you just lost a clear decision for, you know, to the champ. You need to build yourself back up. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I completely agree with that. But I think the Barber call out makes sense. You know, I do think that the winner of Blanchfield and Fiorot is in a weird spot right now, guys, because they may have to wait a year to
get sucks. It fucking sucks. I mean, you
know, that's when they do talk with the belts. Like, they should be Kobe and Gary or something.
We also don't know when. Yeah, they say September in this 3 year, but we're not sure, you know? Yeah. So what's going to happen? We got now you got Macy waiting also, you know.
Yep.
So Macy can fight Rose. But what if Blanchfield beats Fiorot? What then? Should Blanchfield wait till January, February next year before she gets the next fight? Should she take a Macy Barber fight, for example? But she shouldn't have to take it because this is a clear number one contender fight. So it fucks everything up, man.
I mean, you're preaching to the choir, man, because, like, again, that fight maybe is going to happen in September. Like, who knows? How many times have the tough fight coaches never actually ended up fighting?
Dude,
like,
we're still waiting for the last one.
By the way, Alex, I mean, that's a good segue. Like, Cody Durden saying that fight is going to headline UFC 303. Is that what you're hearing?
There's a very good chance that's happening.
Yeah. So that's Chandler and McGregor, by the way, guys. And I think that makes sense. I mean, they got to get this fight booked, you know, like, at this point, just get it out of the way. And
I'm so sick of it. I'm so sick
1,000%.
Of it.
That, I mean, that show was filmed well over a year ago, the Chandler McGregor season of Talk. It's crazy.
Dude, I would not be surprised. And this is just, I haven't heard anything. This is just like me throwing it out. But, like,
Alex.
If Connor fights International Fight Week and then they turn him around and have him headline the Sphere because Canelo is going to be fighting in Vegas that weekend. And they're going to want to compete with Canelo, and you do fucking Conor McGregor versus Nate Diaz in the Sphere. Like,
that makes sense, you know, and he has two fights left of his contract, as you know, Alex. He talked about this. And I think he was saying, like, he said in the past, Lorenzo Fertitta would have re-upped his deal by now, but with these new owners, it's a different world for the UFC. Obviously, they don't want to lose Conor, but I also feel like, I think Conor would want to test free agency, wouldn't he? Like, he'd want to see what offers are out there in boxing, wouldn't he? I would imagine. I don't know.
Probably. I would guess that they're going to re-sign him before his second fight. But then also, like, maybe they're like looking at the big thing. And obviously, Conor's the biggest fighter of all time. Maybe they're like, you know, he's getting older. He doesn't, like, he fights once every 5 years. You know, like, maybe they're like, maybe we just let him go. You know. Who knows? I highly doubt the UFC would want to let Conor go, but I mean, it's definitely an option.
Yeah, I mean, anyways, hopefully that fight does happen, because I'm kind of sick of hearing, like, just even talking about, when is this fight going to happen? It's been a long fucking time since that show finished filming. So, all right, guys, let's get back to the card, the recap. I mean, there's not much to say about this fight. Carl Williams defeats Justin Toffa. This fight was boring as shit. It was Carl Williams is a good wrestler, but he is not exciting, man. And he shouldn't be in co-main events. Like, not at all. Any thoughts on this one? Actually, you were there. You're watching Cage Side. You were probably just so excited to watch this one, man.
No, I left Cage Side during the first round. I don't have no idea why they put this on a co-main event. Maybe they were hoping Toffa was going to knock Carl Williams out, but I think anybody was like, yeah, Carl Williams is going to take Toffa down, just hold him down. And yeah, it was a bad fight.
It was anything you want to say, Marcel? It was so boring.
Yeah, it's what we said last week, man. It's either going to be a knockout in the first round for Toffa or it's going to be a decision for Carl Williams, you know? And it was Carl Williams, I was like, at least he's smart enough to not go like throwing down with Toffa. He did in the beginning. For a second, I was like, dude, why would you even do that? You know, you can clearly win this fight by just laying on top of him pretty much. Yeah. Funny thing to me was like Herb Dean is the referee and he is like on almost every single fight as of lately, work, work. Work. And for this one, he's like, okay, cool. Yeah, he's holding him there. Yeah.
I do think there's some times where he could have broken it up. I think so. There's a comment. Here's a question from Antoine for you, Alex. Antoine says, what's up, Alex? Love your work. What do you guys think is the holdup? Do you think Connor's asking Rick $40 million to fight? You think it's a money thing, Alex? Is that what it is?
I don't think it's a money fight. It's I don't know why he didn't fight last year, but it was the Roadhouse obligations this year and then kind of like late last year. Dana was telling the truth with that. Like, he had a lot of obligations. I kind of put some energy into the icing him for a new contract or icing him for the contract negotiations. I kind of put some theory into that, but I don't know. No one knows. That's the real answer. No one knows.
There you go. All right, let's get back to the recap. Your boy Alex Edmund Shahbazyan turns back the clock here. First round comeback win over AJ Dobson. I mean, I picked Dobson and I was like, oh, okay, Dobson's going to win this fight because it looked like he was on his way to a win. And then I don't know, man. Edmund somehow had the better cardio for once. I couldn't believe it. And he knocks out Dobson. I honestly feel like he saved his UFC career. If he had lost again, I think he was going to get cut. And I think he saved his career. And I thought he had an amazing comeback here. And I was really happy to him because I like Edmund. I've always liked him. I think he's had a really weird career. I mean, he was in the UFC like, what, 21 years old? He was fighting Brad Tavares at like age 21 or something. And knocked him out with a head kick, and the UFC immediately started putting him in main events, and he just did not have what it took to beat those top guys. But he could beat these mid-level guys, no question about it. He's proven it again. So, yeah, I mean, it was a great, great comeback win for him. Alex, you want to quickly give your thoughts on Edmund? Because I know you guys are, pretty tight.
Yeah, when he got cracked by AJ Dobson, I was like, oh my God, is AJ Dobson going to knock Edmund out? Like, it was a hard shot. And then Edmund was the one to wrestle. And it's funny, his coach was – I talked to his coach like a couple – actually, he was – the plan was for him to wrestle against Fluffy. Like, that was like one of the big – obviously that didn't happen. But, yeah, I think him moving to Extreme Couture and actually having beat me in there 2 years and finally getting the big bodies around him, I think we're going to really see improvements, man. And his cardio, I believe him when he said he was ready to go three rounds. And so, yeah, I echo you by saying like he saved his job, saved his career. Cause all respect to AJ Dobson, but if Edmund Shahbazyan were to lose to AJ Dobson, it would have been a wrap,
Yeah. I agree. Anything you want to say, Marcel, about this one?
Yeah. I was happy for Edmund, man. I've been in podcast before with his brother, Leon. I always keep good contact with him. And I was also happy for him. He was also in his corner. I think Edmund still has a lot of talent. He's still young, And the thing with Edmund always was like bad cardio, pretty much. After one round, it was over. And he lost. If he didn't get finished, he lost the second and third round and he's losing the decision. So, I was happy to see that he overcame adversity in this one. And he got the win. Yeah, it sucks for Dobson, obviously, because he started well. But, man, I was happy for Edmund. I think, he definitely saved his UFC career here. And I hope he still improves, at Extreme. I think that's an amazing camp for him to be at. And, let's see what's next for him, man. Good win for Edmund.
Edmund, I mean, I've always liked the guy. You know, it's funny. He was here in January with Strickland and Curtis for the title fight. And they were at a – I used to train at a gym that's pretty close to where I live. And my friend still trains there. He's actually coaching Muay Thai now. And all of a sudden, he's coaching the class. And he looks over and fucking Sean Strickland walked in with Edmund, Curtis, and Eric Nixick. And he's like, hold on, I got to go see these guys, right? So he was saying that, like, all these kids in the class were getting pictures with Sean, getting autographs and stuff like that. And no one fucking even recognized Edmund. And when he told me that, I was like, man. And he said, dude, I felt so bad for him because, like, this guy used to be a star in the UFC. And he's still only 26, which is crazy to me. So when I heard that, I felt bad for him, man. And I'm like, damn, like the guy went from knocking out Brad Tavares with a head kick at the UFC 244. That was the Masvidal Diaz card. It was a massive card. And then his career just, like, went on a complete decline. So for him to get back in the win column, I'm happy for the dude. He seems like a really good dude, man. And honestly, like, I've always liked him. So good to see him get back in the win column. Next up, Peyton Talbot knocks out Cameron Simon. I mean, to me, by far the performance of the night. Biggest star in the making right now on this card, I would say. The guy looked amazing. I got to say, man, that knee that Cameron Simon ate in that first round, that was like a baseball bat to someone's head. I don't know how he fucking survived that, guys. And, man, all credit to Simon.
He's 23 years old. That's why. 23-year-old chin.
33-year-old chin goes away, that's for sure. But, dude, I mean, it was amazing to see him survive that. He's a tough dude, but he got completely outclassed here, Alex. And Peyton Talbot, dude, like, he's – and my friend, the same guy I was talking with just now, like, my friend is the Muay Thai. He sends me a message. He said, Peyton Talbot's got that it factor. And he does. He's got that it factor that – he could be a guy that the UFC builds up. Like, he really does remind me of O'Malley. I mean, I'm not saying he's as good as Sean, but the way he strikes, man, it's just so free flowing. And it's just like, there's no wasted movement and it's so precise and there's so much power. And this kid is only what, 25, and he's already 8-0 and he's just destroying guys in the UFC now. I mean, he just laid Cameron Simon to waste. And Cameron Simon is a good young prospect himself. Alex, you were there. What do you think, man?
Man, this was the fight that I was looking forward to. Also, this is the fight that made me go, oh, okay, Peyton Talbot's for real. Because I had a lot of questions about Peyton Talbot. I picked Cameron Simon to beat him pretty easily. And boy, was I wrong. Man, Talbot just basically big brothered him, bro. Like, just it wasn't competitive whatsoever. I mean, it really looked like a bantamweight versus a flyweight, to be honest with you. Like, it was the size was there, and Peyton Talbot checked a lot of boxes for me, man. Like, I'm legit. Like, I had lunch with Adrian Yanez and Cam Smotherman, and I was like, what do you guys think about this guy? And they were like, yeah, he's good. And I'm like, I'm not gonna believe two professional fighters. I'm gonna believe myself and say Peyton Talbot's not that good. Yeah, no, it just shows I'm a fucking dummy because, man, that dude's good. You know, it's crazy. People are like, he's a future champion, bro. It's like, let's push the brake a little bit. You know, I threw out there Peyton Talbot versus Marcus McGee. I think that'd be a fun one. That's the fun thing about the bantamweight division. There's so many names in there that you can throw them in there. One thing is, Peyton Talbot needs to be is to get out of the apex and fight in front of a crowd because he's fun.
I mean, listen, it obviously is too soon, Alex, to say that, but I also look at this guy and I see a guy that could hold the belt one day. I really do see it in him. I think he's got all the skill in the world, but again, you know, he did beat two guys that are not ranked or anything. He called a Dominic Cruz. Dominic Cruz is not taking that fight. I'll tell you that right now. There's zero chance, right?
No, there's no chance. I mean, but look at this. We just talked about Edmund Shahbazyan, right? Like, do you want to push Peyton Talbot to the rankings problem, and then, right? And then have him end up like Edmund Shahbazyan, right? Like, he's 25 years old, right? So
true. At the same time, though, like, I don't mind him fighting number 15, Pedro Munoz. Like, I think that's a good fight. And would he not be favored to beat Pedro? I'm not saying he would win because I think that's a tough test, but. After seeing Pedro's last fight, Tyler Phillips styled on him. I think he's kind of on the decline, guys.
But he beat Chris Gutierrez, who I think Chris Gutierrez beats Peyton Talbot, right? So, like,
actually, you know what? That's not a bad fight either. I don't know if did Gutierrez lose his last fight? I can't remember. He beat,
he lost to Song Yadong.
Was it Song? Yeah, oh, yeah. I was thinking of that Haile Alatang fight. I think that was before that, though. But yeah, I mean, that's not a bad fight, though. It would be fun, dude. I mean, I think you agree with me, Marcel. 135 is the best division in the UFC, right? Bantamweight? Best
division? I love 135, man. You know that. But you also know that I agree with Alex with Marcus McGee. I'm actually happy he said that.
Because I was about to ask you, Marcel. Like, I mean, we kind of talked about Talbot off the top, but you like that McGee fight. That's the one you like, huh?
Yeah, man. That I think that's a perfect one, you know? So, yeah, I said it as well before when we started. That makes a lot of sense to me. And, man, I was also surprised by Peyton Talbot. I mean, I know he was decent, you know, but I was like, Simon, maybe too much he can chew off right now. But, hey, man, absolutely not. And I'm completely agreeing with Alex, man. I felt the same way. I was like, this dude, he's okay, you know. But he gets a lot of hype, and I don't know if he's that good yet. But he's damn fucking good, man. I cannot say anything else. I was really impressed.
He is. A couple comments. Oh, Alex, you want to say something? Go ahead.
Yeah, I had some pushback on Marcus McGee saying like, oh, you know, they should wait until they're both ranked. And to my response, it's like Marcus McGee's old. Like he's up there,
that.
Man. Like
I just said that, and so he's 2 years younger than me. But I think he looks older than me personally. You're younger than Marcel. And fucking look. What year are you born, Alex? 92.
1990.
Well, you're 90, so you're the fucking same age as him.
Yeah, right. So, like, you know,
he's so old, he's the same age as you.
Yeah, right. So, but in 5 years, right? Like, he's 34, know, right? 34, Peyton Talbot's 25. So, like,
yeah.
And people were like, "Well, Marcus McGee, like, they both need to be ranked." Like, no, just you throw it. You have them fight, and the better one gets ranked. You know?
Yeah, no, I don't. I mean, they just did that with this fight with Simon Conner. Like, it was kind of like sink or swim prospect first prospect fight. By the way, Blake has his comment with JP Bays. I mean, that's a guy that Marcus being knocked out brutally. I'm pretty sure Simon's going to have a better career than JP Bays personally, but yeah, I don't think JP.
I mean,
he's got cut, right? I don't think he's in the UFC.
The other one, I mean, like maybe Peyton Talbot versus like Javid Basharat, you know, like that. Like that's another, you know.
They could just do Eamon's Aubie. You just beat him. So, I mean, they
could you could do that one.
And Eamon's like a good fighter. You like that one?
Yeah. I mean, why not?
Eamon's good, and he's good defensively too. He's hard to hit, you know. So,
although I wouldn't mind to see Talbot fighting a grappler, to be really honest.
That's what I was just about to say, Marcel. Like, yeah, this fight clearly was, you know, like going into it, it was a close fight. The odds were close, but after we saw it, it was a washout. I do think like that Nick Aguirre guy took him down a few times, controlled him right before he gassed out. What happened? Go ahead.
If you were to bet your rent money on this fight, Raul Rosas Jr. versus Peyton Talbot, who would you lay your mortgage on?
Peyton Talbot.
Peyton Talbot. To be honest, I probably would do it too. That's fucking good. I don't live on the streets, Alex, but I'd probably fucking do it, man. Why not? You like him too? You would like him too, there?
Probably, but the wrestling defense from Talbot, like. If Nick Aguirre can get you down, like
yeah, I'm still worried about
the thing is cardio though too. Can Rosas Jr. do that for 3 rounds? Because if he doesn't finish Talbot, you know what I mean.
What about Christian Rodriguez? Like, would they do that fight? Would Christian
win? It's 145 now.
My bad. He went up in weight because he can't make 135. You know what? Actually, they might give him another chance at bantamweight. I could see that happening.
Right? Or like a Damon Blackshear. Like that's a tough fight. Like, you know?
Yeah, that, actually, you know what? See, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's stylistically, there's some hard fights. Like, even on Mario Bautista, another guy from that camp. Dude, and to be honest, I would probably Mario just because he's more experienced and well-rounded. But that's the thing. Like, they'll probably keep him away from those type of fights for now. And even a Blackshear, like, Blackshear's pretty fucking good, you know what I mean? So
he is,
and he's not ranked, and he's still good. Like, this division's ridiculous, guys. It's so good. So anyways, let's get back to the card. Next up, I picked him, Yusuf Salah. I don't know who you guys picked. I picked Yusuf Salah, man. I watched his last few fights, and he had really leveled up. And you know, a lot of people last week were pushing back, saying the guys he's beaten are cans. And I'm like, okay, well, they're not the best, but he looked amazing in those fights. And Billy Q's a guy that you talk about getting older. I mean, he's the same age as me. I can call him. He's an old guy like me. He's 35, and he just had a kid. And I know what it's like to have a kid. You don't sleep as well. And he just opened a gym. He's got all these other things going on in his life, Billy Q. And, bro, he got washed. He got completely washed. This fight was absolutely dominant by Yusuf Salah. And honestly, man, I think Salah should have got a bonus too. I was pretty surprised he didn't get the 50K. I don't know about you guys, because I was, like, until Talbot fought next fight, this was the best performance in the card, in my opinion. I'll start with you, Alex, obviously. Man, he looked amazing, right?
Yes, he did. I picked Billy Q, but I bet Yusuf Zalal. Yusuf looked very, very good, man. And I don't think he should have been released in the first place, right? Like, especially just because he was so young. Like, he was so young. And, you know, looking back at it, like, he went three rounds with Topuria. Granted, it was short notice for Topuria, but he went three rounds with Topuria. And I feel like he beat Black. I think was it Black Shear in his last fight? I feel like he beat Black Shear, wasn't a draw. So yeah, I mean, he looked phenomenal, and I really like his attitude going forward. He's like, he's the law 2.0. He's not gonna. He said he took five fights in his first year with the UFC. He's gonna, like, you know, sit back and kind of chill out for a little bit. So yeah, I was really high on Yusuf.
And Marcel actually was the one who. I think Marcel broke this news of Macy Barber thing. He sent me a DM a couple weeks ago saying, "Hey man, why is Macy Barber looking at a picture of Yusuf Zalal in the bathtub?" And I'm like, "Well, they're probably together, dude." So James, Lane, I will give James some credit here. He did the detective work and fucking asked him straight off. Yeah. He's like, "Yeah, I'm with her."
She was there on Saturday, and
oh, she was there?
Yeah. And as if they walked out, like, they did a little kiss on the cheek. So
I'm sure they had fun at the after party as well. I'm sure they did. But no, you know what? I'm happy for Yusuf, because honestly, man, dude, I watched, you were there, you talked to him, Alex. He just seemed like in really good spirits. You know, he seemed like a guy, and he talked about, like, maturing. And the truth is, man, I mean, and it's the same with us guys. Like, man, I fucked up a lot of my life, and you try to really learn from your mistakes. And this is a guy that, he fucked up his first chance in the UFC, guys, like he did. He went 3-0, and he's looking like a good prospect, and he loses three straight fights and has a draw and gets fucking cut from the UFC, like, age, what, 25? Like, it's brutal. So building himself back up is impressive. I don't know. Anything else you want to say?
Yeah. Let me just add this real quick before Marcel. And, like, so, you know, when you get cut from the UFC, it's very hard to get back. And, you know, like, there's a lot of fighters that have got cut this year or even last year that will not get back to the UFC. He went back out there, starched people on the regional scene, right? Like, that's what you got to do if you get cut. You go out there, like, you can't do, like, Jordan Wright just had a 5-round boring decision on Fury. Like, bro, that's not what you do. You got to go out there, spark people, get the, and, like, say, I'm too good to be on the regional scene. Bring me back to the UFC, right? So, and that's what he did. And funny, like, I was told he was on Tough. He admits it. He was signed to fight on Tough, and then two days later, he's like, he's gone in the UFC. So,
and I think James was talking about this in his Discord. Mm-hmm. He was saying that, like, some of the, like, the two coaches, they brought in some of their own fighters, and same thing happened last year with McGregor and Chandler. I think like, at the last second, McGregor brought in a couple of these guys, like that Lee Heyman guy, I think.
I hate that so much, man.
You hate it, right?
Why did he do that, man? Then before you, when you do the coaches, don't get some guys already there and say they're on the show, you know? And then after that, it's like, yeah, you're not on the show because the coach want to have your own, you know? You can do that before. That's just stupid. And now it came good. It came well because they gave Zalal the chance to fight in the UFC again. So it's not that bad, but it's just fucking sucks, you know? But
Good he looked on Marcel? Because I'm going to give you a chance to talk about this. I mean, he looked amazing, right? It's a lot.
Oh, yeah, he looked very good, man. I mean, he had a great performance. He almost finished Billy in the first round already, and he did it in the second round. I felt Billy wasn't there at all, you know? He just didn't look... He looked off, you know? And that's probably full credit to Zalal for that, you know? And plus, I think Billy's wife is due as well, because they originally tried to get him to the Atlantic City card, maybe to fight Nate Landwehr there, and he said he couldn't make it because his wife is due next week. It sucks for Billy, but man, great for Zalal. I'm happy for the dude, you know.
First time Billy's been submitted in his career. That's why I was impressed. I mean, it's not like he just went in one boring decision, guys. He completely washed the dude. And I know what you're saying, true. Like, Billy didn't look there, but at the same time, I think you just said, Marcel, Yusuf kind of made him look like that too. So, by the way, this is pretty funny, guys. Have you crazy Pato? Guys, have you seen that Zalal tested positive for high level testosterone, but the NSAC got to the conclusion that dating Macy was the cause? Well, there you go. Makes sense. I think we'd all have high testosterone if we were dating Macy Barber. So, wait, you're married, Alex. Just let me, Marcel, think about this. You can't talk about this. Your wife's gonna. You don't want to let her hear this. Any idea what happened to Macy and the Elias guy? I or the cause is Macy didn't want to date a regional level. That's so mean, man. Oh my god, what, she leveled up and she's dating a UFC guy? I don't know. I mean, like, I James actually asked about this, but like they used to train together at Factory X, so like they've known each other for a long time. Dude, it's just human beings, man. Humans are attracted to other humans that are into the same things as them, and they're both really good fighters. And you know, I don't know what happened to her ex-boyfriend, because when this happened, I was like, oh, she's dating Yusuf Salal. I thought she had dating that guy that fights in Team Alpha Male, right? Wasn't she there before Team Alpha Male? She used to be there, right? I think.
She's
still there. Yeah. Okay, my bad.
We're not like fucking TMZ, you know what I mean? But we know kind of stuff. We're not that exact.
Well, like I said, James actually fucking asked the guy straight up.
Yeah, yeah.
And, people in the comments, I don't know if you saw the YouTube comments, like, James, you aren't TMZ. Why are you asking him about this? And it's like, he didn't mind. He didn't fucking care. And actually, mm-hmm. I think, and I'm pretty sure that Macy had talked to him, James, after and sent him a text saying, hey, I'll do an interview with you. But then she got fucking sick, was in the hospital for like a week or whatever. So Yusuf's next fighting is likely a top 20 guy. Well, I mean, Billy was ranked Tapology. I mean, it's not UFC, but top 20 in the world. Like, this is a good win. You know what I mean? Like, Billy's a tough guy to beat, man. He's not an easy guy. If you look at the other guys he lost to in the UFC, it was like Barboza, Burgos, Gavin Tucker. And the Gavin Tucker fight's the one that I was like, maybe he's not as good as everyone thinks and with the grappling. And that's why I picked Salal here, because I thought Salal could wrestle him. And I didn't think he'd submit him, though. I mean, that was impressive. Another impressive performance here. Fernando Padilla gets a finish here over Luis Poyo. Marcel, we were wrong about this one. This was our consensus dog of the week. Fucking bad pick on this one. This is probably our worst consensus dog, like I would say, of the year so far.
A month at all. We normally always have a good consensus dog. So yeah,
it was a shit pick on her part.
Shit performance by Pajuelo, man. I mean, not a shit. Just kidding.
Look good at all. But yeah, Padilla's good. And Alex, I know you're a big fan of this guy. He's 100% going to be in that sphere card, I would imagine, right?
Someone told me that every single Mexican is going to be on that spear card.
Oh, there you go. Do they have more than 15? I don't know if they do. I mean, maybe they do have more than 15. I think they're going to bring in some people from Tough too, right? I'd imagine. Or I guess it would just be the finals, right? Tough finals.
They're going to load that card with every Mexican on the roster.
Yeah. Here's a good question. Would you do Salal and Padilla? Sure. Why not? I don't mind that fight. That's a good fight. I like keeping guys on the same timeline. So if they fight in the same card, I like booking them against each other next. Kristen, what's up, brother? He's talking about your boy Jarno. Marcel picked him. We'll talk about him in a minute, too. Going to the prelims here, Trey Ogden defeats Kurt Hallebaut. Boring fucking fight. Right? This was a piss break fight. It was terrible. I mean, I think I actually did take a piss and came back, and they were in the same position, just holding him on the ground. It was not a very fun fight to watch, but Trey Ogden he's just a good solid fighter, man. He really is an underrated guy. I think Daniel Zalhuber called him out for a rematch. I don't mind the rematch, because I was shocked the first time they fought and Trey won. Right, I think a lot of us were like, what the fuck's going on here? But I think Zalhuber's leveled up. I don't mind that fight. By the way, Alex, were you at the weigh-ins, right? Dude, that was the most awkward handshake I've ever seen. They didn't shake hands. It was so fucking weird. I was like, what are these guys doing?
Wasn't on purpose, man.
It was so weird. But like, I was going to say, like, both the guys that didn't shake the hands, him and Usman, both lost their fights. So yeah. That's the thing you got to look at when you watch these weigh-ins. Did I have pizza Saturday? No, I don't think I had pizza Saturday, actually. Actually, I might have. I don't remember anymore. It was all in Zalal, yeah. Do you think Moreno will fight? Yeah, he'll be on the sphere card. Moreno, 100%. Yeah, let's just skip that fight, because I don't care about this fight, guys. I mean, it's just
boring. Yeah, skip it.
Juliana Rosa, holy fucking shit.
From Ogden, man, after what happened to him with the Mata fight.
Oh, yeah, that was bullshit with the Mata thing. I mean, was it Chris Tyone in that fight? Was it? Was that
probably. Probably.
I mean, the thing about...
Can't you hit him with a bat
Beltran.
Or something,
it was actually
Alex.
Mike Beltran.
Alex, Mike can't you hit him with a bat or whatever when you're there, you know, Chris
Tyone? Dude, somebody on Twitter started going after me because I was bashing Jaren Villal, and they were like,
he's a bat, he's Canadian, but we don't claim him. He's just not, dude. I think he's like the only Canadian ref. Actually, Yves Levine was used to be in the UFC. He doesn't do it anymore, but yeah, Jaren Villal's just not great.
He's not good at anything, bro.
No, nothing. Judging is also bad. What's his name? Damon Martin, who's not related to me, by the way, even though people think we are. But Damon always goes after Jaren. He's like, why is this guy reffing in the UFC? Like, and I always laugh because, like, again, we have like the same last name. People think we're related, but you know, we're not. But we both just think this guy sucks as a ref.
When Damon broke a fight last time, I not on purpose. I put Adam Martin MMA fight, and somebody said, "Who's Adam Martin?" It's like, oh shit, it's my co-host.
No, we're not related. I like Damon a lot, though. Anyways, getting back to the next fight, your boy Juicy J dude, he gets dropped again and then comes back and submits Ricardo Ramos, who, I mean, this guy has negative fight IQ and the worst guillotine choke defense I've ever seen. Two back-to-back fights, loses by guillotine in the first round. What the fuck, man? What's going on with this dude? Like, we both picked Ramos by knockout. He drops him. I'm like, okay, this is an easy pick. And then tapped out a minute later and didn't really even fight the choke. Didn't really even fight it, you know? Alex, you were there. What did you think, man?
Yeah, I was there cage side, and my buddy Armando was like, yeah, Julian Arosa is going to get tapped or knocked out in the first 3 minutes. And I was like, nope, Julian's going to win this fight because Ramos just doesn't have – once he gets in a dangerous situation or a dangerous position, he just gives up.
You got that quick in there.
Yeah. And he did.
What do you think, Marcel?
I mean, I was like, what the hell, you know? this, like, the second time he taps after the Jourdain fight, he tapped as well. He gave away his neck, and I was like, I didn't have the feeling that it was completely locked in. But, hey, who am I? I'm not, like, a BJJ expert or whatever. But he tapped so quickly. I was like, dude, you know, good for Arosa, you know? But I was like, Ramos probably fucked, not going to lie. I wouldn't be surprised if the UFC cuts him, man.
I think they might, too. I think it's possible, just because, like you said, he's kind of got that quick, but at the same time, you know, he does have, you know, those spinning back elbows he had. Mm-hmm. He also had that win over at Bill Algeo. So he'll probably get one more, I would imagine. But, like, not against a guy that's even close to being top 15. But, yeah, good for Julian Rose. And then in the post-fight interview, he calls out, I don't know the
– Leah.
I don't even know how to say it properly. Is it he or her? I don't even know what the – pronoun is. I don't want to get canceled here, guys.
Yeah, let's move on.
I don't want to get canceled. I don't want some clipping.
You guys are afraid of North America, yeah, right? To call all these idiots.
Let's move on.
By the way, this is good, freaks. Is it a coincidence Mr. Alex also did a podcast? James, it fucking is, because he just jumped in the chat here and I'm like, you want to join us? And then I saw that he did the MMA industry podcast with James earlier today. Shout out to our boy James Lynch, good friend of the show, of course. Tony's ref and Roadhouse. Oh, I didn't see it yet, but he was in it. That's too funny. Are you serious? Oh my
god. He should stick to acting.
Did you see Roadhouse yet, Alex? You saw it?
Yeah, it's
just meh.
Yeah.
You know the thing is though, like the director, he did that movie Swingers, and he's also did that movie Go, and those are good fucking movies. So like
Doug Liman is a very good director.
That's what I'm saying. Like I'm surprised how much people, like, I haven't seen it yet, so I can't say anything, but people are really shitting on this fight. Like, or
it's
this movie, I mean.
I am a film snob. I'm a film snob, so like I judge movies way harshly than everybody else. It's a perfect movie to watch while like you're doing dishes or doing laundry. Like that's
a compliment, man. But like I just think like fucking Swingers, you Vegas Baby Vegas. I mean, that's a classic. You know what I mean? Like this is, it's surprising to me that it just didn't.
I haven't even seen the original Roadhouse movie.
Original is amazing.
So I might watch the new one first, and then I go watch the.
No, do the other way around.
I want to save the best for last. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, well that's what you usually do, right, Marcel? There you go. Anyways, let's get back to the fights. Miles Johns defeats Cody Gibson. I mean, kind of a boring fight too. I mean, I picked Johns. I thought this is what would happen.
Cody looked bad, man. Cody looked really bad. Yeah, like you go from that just dog fight war with Katona to this. Like,
I mean, it takes a lot out of you, those fucking wars. And to be honest, Katona looked bad in his last fight too against Garrett Armfield. That was in Toronto.
Good point.
They both did. Those fights take a lot out of you, man. Those kind of wars. And I don't blame those guys for, they basically just, I'm not trying to compare it to Griffin Bonner, but it was kind of like their own like bantamweight version of Griffin Bonner. You know, they're trying to get that contract, trying to get back in the UFC, and they both got a contract. But Cody looks so bad. I could see him being cut again. He's 1-5 in the UFC, guys. You think he gets one more out?
He'll get one more.
For sure. Maybe get some prospect or something. Maybe they'll do like Javid Bashrat to build him back up or something. I could see them.
He'll get a contender series guy.
Or that too, yeah. I mean, then when is Contender starting back?
August 20th.
There you go.
So August 20th.
They're going to hire 50 new guys. They're going to cut 50 guys on the roster. So, I mean, Cody's going to probably be one of those guys that's on the bubble. Miles Brown, by the way, he's kept plugging his dog, whatever he's got, dog pound in his backyard or something like that. He's selling dogs. Someone was looking him up. He's selling them for like, what was it, like $4,000 a dog or something? It's crazy, man. Good for him, though, if he's Mickey Bank. Gotta give a real shout out here to Marcel for picking Jarno Ahrens to defeat Steven Wynn. It was fight of the night. I'm glad it got fight of the night because You know, Alex and Marcel, you know, I talk about this all the time. I prefer when they give the guys in the bottom of the card the bonuses because these guys need it more. And Steven Wynn's a guy that's had three fights at Contender. Jarno Aaron's had two UFC fights, lost both of them. These guys needed this bonus money. I guarantee you that. And this was a fucking war. I mean, Jarno clearly won the fight. He just kind of – I was shocked. I gotta be honest. I didn't think much Jarno coming into this one. And I thought Steven Wynn was a really good prospect. And he's definitely a zombie. I mean, he kept walking forward, throwing bombs. But he got outclassed, and Jarno looked great. And it was a huge win for him. And they got the bonus. So I was happy to see that. Marcel, I'll let you start on this one because he's your countryman. You did get him.
Marcel the homer. Marcel the homer.
He is a homer because he was kind of on the fence, and then he took his guy. But you know what? It's a smart pick. Good job, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, he did very well, man. He dropped Steven Wynn twice in the second and third round. I was happy for him for the 50K bonus. I think he messaged me after the card. He's like, dude, do you know the bonuses? I was like, no, it's not out yet, you know? So I keep refreshing, and then I see Fight of the Night. I said, you got to do it. He's like, let's go, dude. I got it. So he was still in the hospital back then because he had his checks. So he was super happy. Yeah, man. I mean, good fight, but also Steven Wynn, man. Super tough dude, you know? Yeah. He kept it going. He was just a little bit behind at a certain moment, you know. And Jarno had really good stuff with his leg kicks. He did very well, I think. I didn't like the start, man. Steven Wynn kind of cheap shot at him with a leg kick in the beginning of the fight when they touched glove. I was like, dude, why you do that? And I asked Jarno, and Jarno said I called him a motherfucker when he did it. So, yeah, I mean, but good fight, man. Very fun fight to watch. I think... yeah, I was happy as well. I was like, maybe the UFC goes with four performances and no fight of the night, you know, and that was possible on this card. So I was like, that would suck for both guys, you know, because for me, it was clear fight of the night. But they got it, and good for them. And yeah, fun fight overall, you know. I think Aaron showed that he is much better than he showed in the first two fights in the UFC, you know. And I still think Steven Wynn has a great career in front of him in the UFC, you know.
Anything you want to add to this one, Alex?
Yeah, it was just a fantastic fight.
Yeah, it was. And you know, Tristan's in the chat, he had Jarno. I actually picked Jarno in the last fight against Sung Woo Choi, and me and Marcel both picked him, and he just didn't impress me, and that's why I went against him here. But clearly I shouldn't have jumped off the wagon so soon because he's decent, you know what I mean? And he had more experience in the UFC. Steven Wynn with this workout side of the UFC, he has a job. I guess he has an old job, right? He must. I mean, he hasn't really fought that much. I don't know. I'm not sure what he does. No clue. Yeah, Zodiac's a great movie. That's a David Fincher movie. David Fincher's one of the best directors. He's one of my favorite directors, Alex. I mean, Marcel, you love him too. I mean, Fight Club and Gone Girl. And there's so many. It's Seven.
Social Network.
Dude, Social Network's a great movie. I mean, there's so many good ones by that guy. Did you guys already talk about it? Well, we can touch on the antitrust lawsuit. I'll be honest. I'm not an expert in this. And then all of a sudden, after this, the settlement came out, everyone on Twitter became an expert in it. It was pretty hilarious to me how
just like everything.
Everyone's a lawyer all of a sudden. And the funny thing is, like, the actual lawyers, like John Nash from Bloody Elbow, I don't know if he's there anymore actually, but you know, John Nash is a guy that's been covering this for years. Jason Cruz covering it for years. These are lawyers, these are actual lawyers that I follow on Twitter. They're MMA lawyers, Aaron McGracken. They were like, this is not that bad for the fighters. Like they were the fucking lawyers were the ones saying this isn't that bad. I don't know what people were expecting. I mean, all the fighters are going to get like a cut of whatever it is. Like they're going to get like 200 grand each or something like that. It's not that bad. I mean, really? I mean, it's not great, but the truth is, I mean, I saw Nate Quarry talking about this and he just said like, if we had pushed back, it would have been another 10 years in court. And it's just too much, you know? So I understand that, you know, people are going to say, well, they didn't do anything for the next generation fighters. I get that. I agree with that. But at the same time, if you're Nate Quarry, you're a 50-year-old fighter who wants a little bit of a – or Kung Lee, these guys are in their 50s now. I just think it's better for them if they just, you know, got the Gray Maynard. All these guys – you know what I'm talking about, Alex? Like, what do they care, really? I mean, like, at this, like, I think it's going to take a guy like, again, like a Conor McGregor or John Jones, like these superstar guys to really make a statement. They don't care either. This is a selfish sport. Fighting is a selfish sport. And the UFC probably ended up with the better end of the deal here. I mean, but again, I'm not an expert. So that's I'm just kind of following what the other guys are saying.
Bro, did you read this from Brandon Moreno?
What happened?
Brandon Moreno has announced he will be taking a break from fighting for the time being. In an 8-minute video on Instagram, he revealed he's been feeling overwhelmed mentally recently with the pressure of fighting and being a champion for so long. He says it's not a retirement, but just a break.
I mean, he's going to come back in the Sphere, though. Like, what's it, March? I mean,
I'd expect.
Yeah, I understand what he's saying, but he'll be back in September. I mean, guys, especially in this sport, I mean, it mentally fucks you, and the guys take breaks all the time. So I'm surprised he even made that statement, but he's probably getting harassed by fans too. You know, like, you know, because he didn't have the best performance against Brandon Royval at home.
Alex looks really sad about the news.
He'll be back.
He'll be back.
A couple other fights here. Let's talk about the two fights, and then we'll get into that really controversial one. Just really quick, the Daria Zlatnikova girl. I mean, I thought she won because she did more damage. Rendon just held on for dear life. Rendon is a very boring fighter. I'll just say
that. I was really entertained by Rendon, but not because of her fighting style. Let's say that.
I can guess what you were entertained by. And then the other one was Nick Parkin defeats Mohamed Usman. I guess it was an okay fight, I guess, for heavyweights. I don't know. Nick Parkin's undefeated still. Like, is he a good prospect, guys? Like, I don't know. What do you think of him, Alex? Nick Parkin.
I think he's bottom tier heavyweight. Like,
yeah.
You know, could he break? Let me ask you a question. Does he beat Ty Tuivasa if he fights Ty?
No.
Maybe.
I think he could, you know? So he's like bottom end top 15.
If he hangs on for dear life, maybe.
I don't think he beats anybody in the top 15 right now.
Probably not. All right, let's get back to the main.
Also, Ultimate Fighter veterans went 1-4 on this card.
That's not good. Who was that? Billy Q, Hollibaugh, Gibson, and who was the other one?
Mohamed Usman and Juliana Rosa.
So 1-5.
Oh, shit, 1-5. Damn.
Because the only winner was
Rose.
Julian.
Rose,
too. Fuck, Rose. Fuck you. Yeah, Rose. You fucked up my stat. God damn it. Fuck.
Did you forget about... never mind. Yeah.
I forgot about Rose.
Fuck.
Yeah, the main eventer. Oh my god. I mean, she did lose to Carla, but yeah, she was on it. Parkin versus Barnett. Chris Barnett, Huggy Bear. I mean, sure. It'd be a fun fight. Yeah, Huggy Bear back in the cage. I love that guy. Okay, yeah. Let's talk about this, guys. Andre Lima defeats Igor Severino by DQ due to biting. There's a lot to talk about for this one, I think. I'll give my thoughts and I'm going to let you guys talk about it. So my thoughts are...
Let me get my talkies.
This is not the first bite in the UFC, you know, and people really were upset about this bite. And Chris Tyone was pissed. The commission was pissed. The bite looked bad. I mean, there's no question. It was like visually, it was the worst bite I've ever seen in the UFC. But again, it was not the first bite. Last year, there was a guy, Nurillo Aliyev. No one talks about this. He bit, I can't remember his opponent's
name. Yeah, right? Rafael Alves, but I don't agree with you.
Well, he got a point deduction for biting. So, I mean,
yeah, but I don't agree with you. Want.
Why? He got a point deduction.
No, like, he put his finger in his mouth. That's fine.
I agree, but he still beat him. And there's also a fight.
I would bite you too if you put your finger in my mouth, dude. So
let me talk first. Hold on. Gabriel Benitez and Jason Knight was the other one I could think of. Jason Knight bit Gabriel Benitez, and I think it was a point deduction. So these guys get point deductions. This guy got DQ'd. Again, I don't hate it because he was compromised by it, and they didn't want to give this guy a chance to win. At the same time, though, I mean, this is a guy who's 20 years old, and he's a pretty good prospect, and they cut him, and now they're withholding his purse. It just seems really it's a harsh punishment, man. You know, again, like, I'm all for, like, I expect him to be cut because I expected Dana to hate this guy, and Dana gave the other guy a bonus. So I was good to see that. I'm just saying, like, I think withholding his purse, man, the guy's only going to make, like, 10 grand. I don't know. I'm not sure about that. I want to get your thoughts. I'll start with you, Marcel, because I know you want to talk about this. Go ahead.
I ask you a question. Imagine this happens. MVP fights Kevin Holland and MVP bites Kevin Holland. Do they cut him? No, they don't cut him. You know? So this is just an easy way for the UFC out to cut him and to show the people a point here, in my opinion. Do I like the bite? Do I think he should be punished? Of course he should be punished. I think the DQ is granted, you know? I got to give here again, Chris Tyone fucking sucks. He let Lima grab the cage for like 4 or 5 times, so Severino might be annoyed by it. Still not allow you to bite anybody, you know. Talked to Gilbert Ivel about it today earlier. And what did he say? Yeah, he was like, what the hell? He's like, and my co-host asking him like, how can you bite like that with a mouth guard on? He said, oh, you can do that. That's no problem. So my co-host is like,
I'm pretty sure Gilbert's put someone in the cage.
Yeah, 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 he did. Yeah. So he's like, you know that, or you think that? Oh no, I know that, said Gilbert. I know that, but let's talk about something else. But yeah, he's it was like a bad bite, and he should be punished for sure, you know, and he should be fined for it. But to cut him for it is like a little, to me, it's a little bit too much. And maybe people, I think people are really overreacting about it, man.
He's going to lose. Well, I mean, he's only, I think he's on a 10-10 card or 12-12. He's going to lose probably his whole thing. A guy flew in from Brazil. You know, he probably needed that money bad. But again, you can't buy it. I got that. By the way, Gilbert Ivel, it was Karamula Barkalyev. That fight, I think he bites him, a couple times, doesn't he?
Was it Russia? Yeah, yeah. I had like 3 or 4 bite marks on his stomach. Yeah, yeah.
Talk about biting. I mean, that's the most, you know, egregious one you'll ever see. Alex, you were there, obviously.
Yeah.
Give me your thoughts on this guy, man.
I'm conflicted, man. I have a whole lot of thoughts on it. Like, I do think it's tough because he's 20 years old, right? Yeah. But you should fucking know by now, you do not bite somebody. That is a fucking it's a dirty move. It is. It's,
oh, yeah.
That's, it's up there with fucking eye gouging and it's, you know, it's a dirty move. And I do believe he probably should have got cut just because, like, you're in the UFC, bro. Like, if you bit somebody in LFA, you're at LFA, but you're in the top of the sport, nothing bigger. And you bit somebody because you were in an uncomfortable position. It's just a dirty move, bro. I don't agree with the commissioner holding his purse, you know, give him his purse. You know, give him his purse and let him go on his way. You know, he's 20 years old. Will he make it back to the UFC? It's tough. Paul Daly never made it back to the UFC after Dana, you know, went hard on him, but he is 20 years old. Maybe he, you know, gets a few wins on the regional scene and then meets with Dana in person and apologize, you know, whatever, you know what I'm saying? But I kind of agree with the decision to cut him just because I think it's just a fucking dirty thing to do, bro. Like, it just, you don't, for fighting for that long, you're in the UFC. Yeah, you're out.
Can I play devil's advocate to you?
Yes.
Yeah, you can. I want to hear your thoughts on this person.
So 2 years ago, I just say something. Conor McGregor bites Cowboy Cerrone during his fight. Does the UFC cut Conor McGregor because of the bites Cowboy
Cerrone? No, they don't. But they should if you bite somebody. Like, it's just a dirty thing to do in fighting. It's just,
yeah, but that's a problem I have with the double standard. I think, you know, gotcha. I think this is an easy way to cut somebody because they have, he has no significance for the UFC. You know, he's just a guy who made his debut. They can easily exchange him with another guy from the Contender Series and never talk about him anymore, you know? So for me, it's like, it's the easy way out for them to cut him. Do I think it's a dirty move? 100%, man. But I briefly talked about it with Adam on the Discord, with James, and Adam said as well, it's a fall in the book, you know? It's as much as a fall of his eye gouge as is whatever, you know? And why is this more, I mean, why is this more frowned up upon
than, yeah, exactly.
Priscilla Catrish should have been cut after she fucking Julian Robertson. Like, I feel it's like there's just certain things in fighting you fucking can't do, bro. And especially, like, you know, eye gouging is probably the worst thing you can do because if you can ruin someone's life, eye gouging. Biting, I mean, depends on how hard you bite somebody, but, like, you know, it's just dirty, bro. And I just don't think there's any room for it in the sport.
This guy must be into some really fucking freaky sex. I'll just say that, man. I would imagine. There's some people who are really into biting. Maybe that's a DM.
But, you know,
hot kicks on Instagram. Hey, man, you're into biting? Like, maybe it's going to work out good for this dude. Like, you never know, right? But, I think cutting him is fine. I just think withholding his purse is a little harsh, personally.
Yeah, 1,000%.
Like, you just lost it. It's like, you're fired. Oh, and we're keeping your last paycheck too. Like, that's a little harsh, I think, you know? So, yeah, that's all I'll say. But, you know, the worst thing is, though, this fight was fucking good until that happened. It was actually a good fight. Other than the fence grabs, and I did pick the Lima guy. Chris Tyree, please don't grab the fence. Like, he's just going to, like, just give him 100 warnings. Like, take a point. When they went for the bite, I thought he was going to take a point. I'm like, oh, he's taking a point finally.
And yeah.
No, he did his fucking arm. What were you going to say, Alex? What were you going to say?
He also didn't look that remorseful, in my opinion. Like, he was just kind of staring at him like he got caught. Like,
yeah.
You know, like,
he was hungry.
1,000%. But I would say, like, you know, bigger picture, Andre Lima came out looking like a fucking superstar, right? Like,
yeah, he got the bonus too. Dana gave him 50K, I think.
Didn't yeah, he? 50K. Fucking, we wrote 4 stories on the dude. Like, he came out.
No one even knew who either guy was.
No, 1,000%. No,
for that fight. Like I said last week, I'm like, oh, I'm doing the tape study. I'm like, I don't really know much about these guys, and now I do. So
it's Peyton Talbot, and fucking Andre Lima are the two biggest things that came out of this card, which is crazy.
Let's be honest, man. Chris Thorne is a fucking cocksucker, man. Like, fucking every fucking card, he fucks things up. It's so annoying, you know.
He's not as bad as Jaren Verrill, though.
Marcel's acting like Chris Tyone's the one who took the bite.
put them on fucking Desert Island, man. Get out of here with these guys, you know. I'm out of with you.
Marcel is he's not a fan of Chris Tyone. Hopefully, Chris doesn't hear. Someone's going to send him this and clip it and send it to him. Be like, hey, this guy fucking hates you. Anyways, a couple other comments. There's some funny comments. Some people are talking about just like other situations, like the Paul Daly thing where he punched the Josh Koscheck, got cut. You know, I also think about remember Jason High, a veteran. He punched the ref. Was it when he fought this time? I can't remember who he fought.
Roy Nelson. Yeah, he pushed Big John after what he knocked out Big Nog or tapped.
Did he get cut? No, yeah. Right. No.
Remember that Johnny Walker in his debut hit through Herb Dean.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that I don't know. It's a lot of double standards.
It's a
private company, though. You know what I mean?
It is, but there's like levels to it, right?
There's
levels to it. Like, you know, you're fist fighting somebody and you're in your emotions. You know, you might push some, like, but biting someone and then punching somebody after the fight when you've had 15 minutes to do it it's a different, bro. It's just levels.
It's bad. All right. A couple other comments. The big guy has got some good points here. He's just talking about how it's a dirty sport. And also, I agree with this guy. I mean, Gustamar Paul Harris holding onto those leg locks. He finally got cut, but didn't he do it like 2 or 3 times before they fucking cut him after he did it to, God, who was it? Who was the last
Thomas
guy?
Thomas Duval, he did it against.
Who was the last guy did to on that Brazil card? It was on the Maya Shields card. And he did it to,
Mike Pierce.
Yeah, Mike Pierce, okay. Did he even fight ever? I don't even know if he ever fought again.
I did it against Jake Shields in WSOF or whatever.
Yeah, he did it. Yeah, he's a dirty fighter. I mean, that's what I was thinking. Like, that's like this bite is bad, but it'll hopefully heal up. I mean, he got tattoo above it. I don't know if that was the best of the year, but like, I think, you know, like destroying someone's knee and ligaments and shit is so much worse because it's like life altering damage or even. A guy's, you know, on his fours. Like, remember that guy Wes Sims, where he did that illegal kick back in the day, and he kicked the guy in the down fighters. Frank Mir. That's a fucking permanent, like, concussion or something. Like, I'm permanent. That's a concussion. That's permanent.
He came to the Ultimate Fighter, and he was like, yeah, "I'm the guy who beat Frank Mir on 2 single occasions."
Yeah, sure, but I think he beat him once. But yeah, that's not
Did you also see the? How do you see that? I uploaded that yesterday. The Wes Sims with Mike Kyle, where. Michael bit Wes Sims.
And here you go. There's another one, right?
So yeah, Joe Rogan asked Michael about it. He's like, "Oh, dude, this dirty fucker, what he did? Who cares?"
Yeah, no, this is funny. Oh, by the way, we've got a good comment here. New watcher, like Marcel and Moreno. Good show to be back. Well, glad to have you back, man. Appreciate that. Marcel's awesome. So is Alex. I'm okay. let's go to the next fight here, or not the next fight. We're done. Overall, to 10, what'd you think, Marcel, of this card? Give me your thoughts on 10, really quick.
I mean, I would give it a 7 with the bite. I gave it an 8.5. No, I'm just kidding. I gave it a 7.58. Yeah. I think it was a fun card, man. You know, I enjoyed it.
I think a solid 7. Alex, both the same for you? Like a solid Apex card?
It's like 6.5.
Yeah, it's just like it was like an average, you know, decent Apex card. So, yeah. Really quick, I just want to really quickly talk about Bellator because some people are asking about it in the chat. And, I don't know if you guys get a chance to watch it. I don't know. Alex, you watch Bellator or no?
Yeah. Oh, bro, I'm a fucking degenerate. I watch Fury on Sunday. Well, I mean, I work.
You work for Fury, them, but like,
yeah, I do.
Yeah, that's why I should watch it. really, really quick, let's go through the Bellator card. Corey Anderson defeats Carl Moore. Very boring fight. I mean, very boring, but did what he had to do. Corey's obviously, you know, he's a guy that he would be top 10 in the UFC right now. I think we know that. Yeah, not much to say there. Pitbull, my God. So I picked Jeremy Kennedy, and he's Canadian. You know, he's looking amazing.
You fucking homer.
I know, right? Dude, he was looking good, though. Was he not looking good? And then he just fucking gets destroyed out of nowhere. Pitbull, amazing, amazing finish. Pitbull's one of the best featherweights of all time. Pitbull's one of the best fighters that's ever fought in the UFC, ever. He might be. Is he the best? And other than Fedor, and he might be, right. Like, he's got to be top five of all time.
There is an argument.
1,000%. Never fought the UFC. I would still say Fedor, right, Marcel? I think you would agree on that. But I think Pitbull's right after him. He called out Aaron Pico. I think that's
the fight.
Yeah,
bro. That, how has that not happened yet? It's crazy. They've been in Bellator for years. Never happened. That's the fight. He also called out Pinedo. That would be a fun fight. And then he called out Topuria. I mean, it's not going to happen, but it's a fun fight, you know. But Topuria, he starches him at this point in his career, I think, you know.
It sucks because, like, if he does ever go to the UFC, it's going to be like when he's 38 years old, right? So, and then he's going to get washed like Wanderlei Silva did. And
I got to be honest, I thought he was washed after that Chihiro Suzuki guy knocked him out in this last fight. I'm like, oh, he's done. And then he turned back the clock here. So I was happy to see it because I've always been a fan of Pitbull. I mean, he's just a great fighter. So, live line Pitbull fight was hilarious. Pitbull minus 300 as soon as the nutshot landed, the whole market moved to pick him. That was like a full 5 minute break for that nutshot. And I don't blame him. I mean, it worked out pretty well, didn't it? It worked out pretty well. All right. Go back to the Bellator card really quick. Fabian Edwards defeats the other Canadian on the card, Aaron Jeffrey. Fabian looked good in this fight, obviously. It was a good fight.
I don't know what Aaron Jeffrey was thinking, man. Like,
I don't know either.
He's like wanting to wrestle him, but like he just didn't do anything. And it sucks for Aaron, man. Like, yeah. He just can't win that. He can't win that big fight.
It's happened a few times. He was on Contender or
twice.
Twice. And he lost to Barallo and was it Brendan Allen? I think
Allen.
He just loses those big fights. When he beat that guy, what's the guy's name? It looks like the fucking Hercules. What's his name? Dalton Rasta. I was like, okay, this guy's fucking legit. And then, you know, he goes and lays an egg like this. So he can't win that big fight. Leandro Higo gets the win here. Manuel Sosa gets a big knockout. Huge win for him. And then a bunch of guys in the prelims that I think all the favorites won on this card, actually. I'm pretty sure all the favorites won. So it kind of a typical, like, the Bellator card and that the favorites usually win. But yeah.
I was very scared because when the fight card started, they did like a 30-minute preview. I was like, oh no, it's fucking PFL. PFL, it's the PFL pacing has come over and grabbed Bellator. We all know, bro. We've watched Bellator long enough. They had 27 fight cards and they. They flew through those ones. I hope. But my thing is, like, bro, so there's eight Bellator cards. How are they going to fight everybody twice a year? Or is it just going to be once a year?
I'll be honest, guys. I don't – what's the point of having Bellator anymore? I don't even understand the point. They should just be all in PFL. It just doesn't really make sense to me. They are part of PFL. Some of the fighters are going back. I don't know if they're going back and forth, but – like Pedro Carvalho, for instance, he's in the next Bellator tournament. Like, how
do you is Shane Burgos going to fight in the Bellator, Marcel?
No, he's probably going to fight on the pay-per-view cards of PFL. He's not being in the tournament, so yeah.
Oh, yeah. Kennedy closes the favorite. Okay, so then Pitbull was a dog, I guess. That's what I'm saying. Like, a lot of people were fading him there, so, including myself. But yeah, he turned back the clock. Yeah, I mean, for what I saw, it was, you know, it was an okay card, but yeah. And their next card is in May, and then there's a PFL starting in like I think next week or two. Yeah, next. I think it's next week, right?
Next week. Yeah, next week.
Are you gonna go to those cards in Vegas?
I'll be in the Vegas one. Yeah, for sure.
Sick. Awesome. All right. The last thing I want to talk about really quickly. We didn't get a chance to talk about this yet, but Jamie Barner went after Laura Sanko on Twitter, and I know Marcel want to talk about this a little bit. Yeah, I mean, listen, like, I'll say this.
Who gives a fuck about Jamie Barner?
I'll say this. Jamie Barner was a fun fighter to watch. His fight with Joe Lozon was an amazing fight, an absolute fucking war. And he also knocked out Edson Barboza. So, I mean, I do have respect for him as a fighter. I think him going after Laura was so fucking low and fucking lame. And I'm glad that the fans went after him. You know, new fans don't even know who this guy is. You know, so he's going after Laura, who's a well-respected commentator. And again, he's saying, oh, you never fought before. And I love her response. She's like, dude, we fought in the same car. We both fought Titan FC. My friend braided your hair. We were sitting next to each other in the locker room. He probably forgot. He's probably got some, you know, doesn't have the best memory. I'll just say that. I thought Laura was super classy in response. I really like Laura as a commentator. I think she's one of the best ones. I'll be honest, like, I think she's better than, like, I'd rather listen to Laura talk about the fights than DC. I mean, personally.
I'd rather listen to her than fucking Dominic Cruz.
I think a lot of people agree with you on that. I know Marcel doesn't, though. Marcel, you're not a fan of female commentators. I mean, you did say this, you know?
Yeah, I did say that. I have, listen, man, it's nothing to do with knowledge, but just the the tone and the voice, I don't dig it, you know, during sporting events. And it's not me to being disrespectful to females or whatever.
You sexist people, pig.
Yeah, before somebody comes here from whoever side, they're going to be upset about it. But it's not, you know, I respect everybody. Do whatever you want, you know. But, Senku is good, you know, don't get me wrong. But it's not like people are always like hyping her up, like she's the next big thing. And that's a little bit too much to me, you know. She's just good in what she does, and that's okay, you know. But she's not like an elevated whatever, you know. That's what I think. I just think she does her job well. And I didn't agree with Jamie Varner, definitely not the way he did it, you know. He's like, yeah, she never fought. I was like, dude, John Anik also never fought in Joe Rogan, so what the hell are you talking
about? Yeah, that's a good point, actually. But, like, the only thing I'll say about Allura is, like, you know, she's not the first female commentator in the UFC. And everyone forgets that Kathy Long did the first UFC. You know, it was her and Jim Brown and Bill Wallace. That was the commentator.
Dude, that was 4 years of age.
She still did it, though. And everyone forgot about that. And they were all like, oh, Laura's the first. No, she's not. You know, and it's actually disrespectful to the other woman. And I think Laura would agree with that, too, if you asked her. I think the biggest thing was when Laura got announced to do the cards with it last year or something, everyone's like, oh, she's the first female in the modern age. And they kept talking about how she's the first female. Like,
yeah, but
I don't, she was happy to hear that too. Cause it's like, she's just good at her job. I think she's good. I'm not saying she's the best commentator they have. I think there's some better ones, but I think she's good. And one sec, Marcel, just like Leah McCourt did the Bellator card. Leah McCourt, I have no issue with her as a fighter. She's a good fighter. I'm sure she seems like a nice
person. It was pretty bad.
Bro, she added nothing to the She added nothing to the commentary. And I'm not trying to be mean. It's just when I listened to her, like they would throw it to her and she would just be like, yeah, you know, say a few things. It wasn't anything special. At least with Laura, like you're getting, like, you know, especially during the jiu-jitsu and stuff, you're getting some you know, knowledge. Like
she really does her tape study very, very well.
And she like, does that's, tape that's study. And again, yeah. She's you know, someone that did fight. I think she fought once for Invicta, but she did fight. You know, I respect her. We're gonna say Marcel.
The problem I have with this shit is like it's typical from this time. Like it's rare to have a female commentary in MMA, you know, for some reason. And then she gets like the first, I don't know what card it was that she was like the first time she did the UFC color commentary. And all these websites, female UFC commentary.
I know.
That's like, oh, dude, I hate this woke shit so much, dude. Listen, if she's good, she's good. You know, I don't give a fuck if she has a dick or a vagina. You know, if she's good, she's good. If he's good, he's good. You know, and that's what the fucked up with the society these days. You know, everything has to be like,
oh, you sexist pig, shut up.
I don't give a shit. You know, I don't give a shit. It's just my co-podcast with Adam. I can say the fuck what I want. So
you can say what you want.
Yeah, it's so annoying to me, you know. I mean, if she's good, she's good. Give her all the credit she got. Yeah. But stop the thing like, oh, she's a woman. We should extra praise her. You know, no. We should just praise her because she's good. You know,
You know what? That
Marcel,
was
the sexist pig, bro.
I know.
Yeah, let's go.
I think Marcel's rant's on point, though. I really do. Like, I think he's a good commentator. And again, I think she's knowledgeable. Again, there's far worse commentators. Like, there's far worse, you know? So, I mean, really, like, I was thinking about it. You know, you're saying, okay, she's like, Jamie's point is, oh, she doesn't have a lot of experience. Okay, she didn't fight in the UFC. I guarantee you guys right now, if you just, for instance, you get Ronda Rousey or Miesha Tate, I don't think you'd prefer hearing them at all, you know? There might be some other female fighter that is really knowledgeable and good in the mic, but I don't know who it would be.
I feel like Miesha Tate would be pretty good, to be honest.
You think she might be good? Maybe, yeah. I don't know. I'm just trying to think, like, I think that's the point, though. I was like, who else would there be? Like, a veteran that also has a good, like, mic skill.
What you guys think about Angela Hill, a cage warrior? So you've never heard of
her. She's actually not bad, right?
Yeah. You don't think?
I'm not a fan.
Not a fan?
You're not a fan? Okay.
I heard. I didn't think she was too bad. I'm not a huge Angela Hill fan by any means, but I didn't think she was that bad, you know?
Her knowledge of the sport is good. It's her voice. That I just don't like her voice.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm just trying to think. Like, there might be someone that – I'm just thinking like Holly Holm. I don't think she would be
very Aaron good. Blanchfield did the Aaron Blanchfield did the grappling event. It wasn't bad, just wasn't like
Carla McKenna also not do A1 combat.
Yeah, she's pretty good. She's pretty good.
Try and look at like the best female.
I feel like Juliana Pena probably would be pretty good.
You know what? She actually might not be bad. You know what? Like as crazy as it sounds, she actually might not be too bad, you know. Someone like that. We'll probably spice it up a bit too. Oh yeah, your girl. How about Marlis Kunin, Marcel? Your girl.
Yeah, she does the commentary for the Dutch broadcast. In the UFC.
I mean, how about you clip this rant, send to her, and see what she thinks?
Oh, she's probably upset, but I will explain it to her how I think, and she knows how I think. So
someone said Felicia Spencer too. Felicia Spencer did what, Invicta?
Yeah. She was mad. Megan Anderson, not the best.
Oh, no. I don't know, man. Not Megan.
But I think before we end the podcast, all I can say is, who gives a fuck what Jamie Varner thinks?
No, I mean, there you go. I think that's a great segue to end this fucking podcast. So once again, Alex, dude, we love when you come on, man. We always appreciate it, dude. We totally do. Tell the people what you got cooking, man. What's going on?
Before he says fuck your beard, Alex, go ahead.
Nothing, bro. I'm good. Just catch me on social media being a dumbass. Thank you, Marcel the sexist pig, and Adam the Canadian Homer.
There you go. You got your. I hear your dog, man. Is that your dog there? Oh, he's right here.
She is right here.
You got a little bear. Oh, go take your first shit out. She's got to go poop. I heard her barking. Anything you want to see, Marcel, before we start the?
Yeah, at least somebody looks cute at Alex's house. So I'm happy to. But
I'm sure his wife's gonna love hearing that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. My God. By the way, he's a married man here, or whatever. I can't say whatever I want. So he calls me sexist pig. So there you go. Alex, thank you for being here, man. It's always fun having you on, man.
Man, no, I appreciate it. We'll just end this show, guys. But just bear with me for a minute. I'll tweet out the preview for Atlantic City, and we'll go through those fights. Alex, once again, man, appreciate you coming on, dude. Chris,
my pleasure.
Have a great week, man. And by the way, once again, check out Alex's appearance on our good friend James Lynch's podcast, the MMA Industry Podcast. He just did his an hour with James talking about his role in the industry.